It is so good to be in the Lord's house. It is so good to be gathered with you. It is so good to sing the praises of God. It is so good to be receiving the sacrament. And I'm so glad that we're together here at this time, at this place, for this Good Shepherd Sunday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto thee, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our salvation. Amen. Well, today's the 23rd, today's the Good Shepherd Sunday. We didn't do the 23rd Psalm, though. I don't know why I didn't have that included. It would seem that that would be something that's very important. How many of you know the 23rd Psalm? How does it start off? Okay, the Lord is my shepherd. Does it mean you don't want him as your shepherd? It means the Lord is my shepherd. He's given me everything I need. I don't want anything else. He's supplied everything. So we're all familiar with that. I don't think many of us, anybody familiar with sheep herding? Any of you ever done any of that? Any cowboys here? You know, it's, but the way they did it in Palestine is very different than the way they do it in Jerusalem. The way they do it in Palestine. The way that we do it here is we get sheepdogs and they drive them, or we get automobiles and vehicles and we drive the sheep out in front of us. That's not the way it's done in Palestine. The way it's done in Palestine is the shepherd calls the sheep know his voice, and the sheep follow him. And he takes them out to green pastures. He takes them out to a place where they can find everything that they need to survive well. In the verse right directly before our reading for the gospel today, Jesus says, "The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it in abundance." How many of you know there's enemies that want to kill, steal, and destroy that are out there? You guys recognize that? It's all around us. It happens all the time. But we have a good shepherd that leads us away from that danger. In fact, he lays down his life for us. So the way that they do it in Palestine is the good shepherd would leave the sheep out, take them into pasture, and then when it came time for them to be in for the evening, he would construct a shelter around them. So nothing could get into it, and the sheep couldn't get out. And then he would lay down at the door. He would lay his body across the door so the sheep wouldn't get out and nothing could come in to get him. In fact, Jesus says, "I am the sheep gate." Now, is Jesus the sheep gate? No, not in the sense that he's like an opening in a thing, but he is the access we have to the kingdom of God. Because is the writer here, is John talking about sheep or is he talking about you? He's talking about you, right? Are you guys with me? All right, good. He's talking about you. He's not talking about the sheep. He's talking, we are the sheep. There was a song that I sang growing up in Iowa. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Hey, thank you. Anybody sing that song before? No. Oh, good. One person in all of the congregations I've ever served has heard that song before, but yet I'm a glutton for punishment and like to heap it on you too, so I sing it anyway. So Jesus is the sheep gate. He is the access that we have into his sheep fold. This is really good news. Now, what can I tell you about Good Shepherd Sunday? I mean, you guys have heard hundreds of sermons on Good Shepherd Sunday, right? So what can I do that's different? Should I just say amen and sit down and let's go have some donuts? Oh, but you know, here's the good news for me. If I was going to tell you something new, it would probably be coming from me, amen? And if it was coming from me, it wouldn't be worth you listening to. What I need to do is stick to the Word of God. And so my job up here is to remind you of the things that God has promised, the things that God has said. And what God has said is that he is our good shepherd. So this, usually we have this verse, we memorize it, and even people that don't know what a shepherd is, you might have a picture of Jesus with the sheep on his shoulders or Jesus in the flock. We all have that kind of thing going on. And we want 23rd Psalm read at our funeral. But Jesus wasn't speaking in the 10th chapter of John to a children's sermon talking about, I just want to be a sheep. He was talking to a crowd, specifically singling out the Pharisees. So let's get the setting right as we go in, and the antagonism and confrontation that Jesus was having with the Pharisees. In John chapter 9, it starts out talking about a man that was born blind. Born blind. He encounters Jesus, and Jesus puts some mud in his eyes, has him go to the pool of Siloam. He washes him out, and he can see. Everybody's amazed. No one in all of Israel has ever heard of a person being born blind, given its sight. So the Pharisees hear about it. They call this young man into their little area, their little office. And they say, so what's going on? Who did this to you? Well, this guy named Jesus. When did he do it? He goes, today. It happened to be a Sabbath. So the Pharisees say, no man of God would ever do any work on a Sabbath. This guy cannot be from God. What do you have to say about him? He goes, I don't know. I was blind and now I see. He must be a prophet. So they called this guy's parents in. Is this your son? Yes. Was he born blind? Yes. How did he get his sight? Go, well, they knew that the Jews were going to be throwing anybody out that gave kudos to Jesus. So they go, he's of age. Ask him yourself. Just got out of the way of that one. So they asked him again. He said that, why do you keep asking me? Do you want to be his disciples? And they were so angry. They said, whoa, we're disciples of Moses. As of this fellow, we don't even know where he's from. And the man that was born blind said, now, isn't that amazing? Here's a guy that opens the eyes of someone born blind. And you religious leaders, that could only come from God. And you religious leaders don't even know where he's from. And they threw him out. Threw him out of the church. So Jesus started telling this story about how he is the good shepherd. And he's comparing the Pharisees to the hired hand. Are we together on this now? Or I can start in on the text that we have. Jesus, I talked about the sheep gate. I am the good shepherd. Verse 11. Then he compares and contrasts himself to the hired hands. The hired hand is working for a wage. So really he's working for himself. And when his self starts getting threatened more than what he thinks it's worth for the sheep, he's going to run away. His interest is in himself only. But Jesus is the good shepherd, the one that lays down his life. He does it for our good, not for his good. Verse 14. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Isn't that great news? Isn't that great good? Isn't it nice to be known by somebody? You know, we have over 1 million people in this city. But you know what? There's so many people that are feeling like they're the only people in the whole world. They feel like they're so alone. They feel like they're lost. I tried calling to get some service the other day, and they asked me, what is my password? What is this number? What is this number? What is your phone number? I said, hey, I'm Dave. I'm your customer. I pay you every month. Why do you want all these numbers? It's me. There's a great theologian named Bob Seger that wrote a song about this called I Feel Like a Number. I want to share some of the lyrics with you. He said, I feel like just another spoke in a great big wheel, like a tiny blade of grass in a great big field. Anybody? To workers, I'm just another drone. To Ma Bell, I'm just another phone. I'm just another statistic on a sheet. To teachers, I'm just another child. To the IRS, I'm another file. I'm just another consensus on the street. Going to cruise out of the city, head down to the sea. Going to shout out at the ocean, hey, it's me. And I feel like a number. I feel like a number. I feel like a stranger in this land. I feel like a number. I'm not a number. I'm a man. I said, I'm a man. This world can make us feel that way. Remember back in the days when you used to write checks for groceries and stuff? I remember you'd start writing your check out and you'd give it to them and they say, everything correct on here? All these numbers right? Yeah. Well, what's your phone number? It's not on there. You give them your phone number. Now they want to see your driver's license. You know, they don't even really look at the driver's license. I shared this in the first service. I'm going to tell you guys too. This is true confession time for me. I'm kind of a nut about some things. So I thought it would be fun to see how people really look at your driver's license. So you know the little plastic sheaths that your license slides into that flips open and open and open? Well, I cut out a picture that was just my driver's license size of Albert Einstein sticking his tongue out like this and put it right over my face on my driver's license. And when they'd ask me for my driver's license, I'd give it to them and they'd copy the number down. But never noticed, do I look like Albert Einstein? Anyway, they're interested in my number. Sometimes it just seems like that's all we are to people. To fill out your social security, to file your income tax, they want your social security number, all these different things. But isn't it good to know that someone really knows you? Someone really knows you. How well does Jesus know you? He was there. When you were knit together in your mother's womb. Can you believe that? In your mother's womb. Jesus was there. God was present. This is the good shepherd who knows you. Now it's just mind-blowing to think that God can hold the universe in the palm of his hand. But even the very hairs of our head are numbered. This is how intimately God loves each and every one of us. The world might see us as a number, but God knows each and every one of us individual. And sometimes we fail to remember that. We don't invite Christ into our daily parts of our lives. We don't bring him in. We leave him out. And then we feel alone. Jesus goes on to say, another thing to say about the sheep know my voice. What is it that Jesus says to us? I wrote down a couple of favorite scriptures that I have in times of when I'm troubling. We recognize Jesus' voice because it's familiar to us, amen? I encourage confirmands to memorize scripture because when you're all alone and you need it the most, you're not going to turn to a Bible to open. It's just going to come to your mind. It's going to come to your mind automatically. When things get really tough, it's going to happen. Memorize spiritual songs. Songs that praise Jesus. Songs that can give you strength and hope in times of trouble. So memorizing scripture, I think, is a very important thing. And even if you're not trying to memorize it, if you read scripture on a regular basis, it will be in your mind. In times of distress and pain, when I'm not sure I could take one more step along the path of suffering, I've heard Jesus' voice say, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Peace. Isn't that? And peace is not the absence of conflict, amen? It's peace in the midst of conflict. It's peace in the midst of tribulation. It's knowing that the good shepherd knows you and loves you, that he's defeated death. He's won the victory for us. When my faith falters and hope grows dim, I've heard him say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me." When I lose track of my purpose and I become confused about what makes life good and true, Jesus reminds me, "My commandment is this, love one another as I have loved you." And even when we stand at the rim of Death's Canyon, over and over, he's spoken to us with hope. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." The comforting words of our good shepherd, they're there for us. It's he's here for us. Avail yourselves of him. Grab a hold of that hope. Grab a hold of that promise. Grab a hold of the certainty that he knows your name, that he knows everything about you. He goes on to say that I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. Does he mean there's going to be more than Lutherans in heaven? I don't even think all of us Lutherans are going to make it. Because it's not about whether you're Lutheran. It's about whether you trust in Christ. Amen? Remember this old song? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Let me hear you sing it. Come on. One, two, three. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Bravo! Bravo! Nicely done. Congratulate yourself. Jesus has other sheep. It wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles. It's for us. And it's for everybody. The good news is that God loves us all equally. We're all children of God. We're all brothers and sisters. So why should we be angry at one another? They're our brothers and sisters. You know why we'd be angry at other people is because we think about ourselves. First and foremost, we think about ourselves. What's in this for me? We're like the hired hand and not like the good shepherd. So oftentimes that's true. We forget how blessed we are. We forget that we are in a position to help other people. And we think about ourselves. And that's where the loneliness starts to set in. Amen? When we start seeing ourselves and ourselves only, we get isolated. And when we're isolated, we start to get depressed. And when we get depressed, we start getting anxious. You know, how come I'm feeling this way? Why is everybody else happy? What's going on? You know, I sponsored this guy in AA, and he told me one time, I called him up to see how he does. It's something that I recommend that you all do, is pick up the phone every now and then and call somebody, just randomly. Say, how are you doing? I want to reach out to you. Well, anyway, I did this to this guy. He goes, I'm miserable. I'm so glad you called. I go, why are you miserable? I go, I've been thinking all day. I go, what are you thinking about? I go, I've been thinking about me. And I said, well, if I thought about you all day, I'd be miserable too. You know? Get outside of yourself, man. Think about somebody else. God has put us into this world, not for us just to be a source unto our own, but to share the gifts that he's given us. He called the disciples to be shepherds, to share that good word with them too. Now, the disciples didn't want to do it right away, right? Jesus appeared to them in the upper room and said, go to Jerusalem and wait till my Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you'll be empowered. And then you can go out and you can tell people my story. Well, the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, but they just continued to hang out in Jerusalem. You know what happened to get them out? Persecution, tribulation, the diaspora. They were spread out because if they stayed where they were at, they would have been killed. So they fled and they went to these different areas. And that's how the gospel got out to all the people of the world. Because they're all important to God. But they wanted to just stay in their own little ethnic group. I think it was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King one time that said that the Sunday worship hour is the most, what is it when you're not open to other people? It's the least integrated hour of all time. It's the least segregated. Why? Why? It's the same Jesus, right? You know, I walk around this neighborhood a lot. And you might have noticed, too, by the way, that we are at least conversely proportionate to the population of our neighborhood. We're almost all white. Our neighborhood is almost all black. And I'll talk to some of the people there when I'm walking around praying for them. And I say, so how come our church is right here? Why don't you come worship with us? He goes, well, Pastor, it's like this. When I start to go to church, you guys are showing up for your 8:30 service. I say, okay. And then you guys are done. And then you guys have Sunday school. And then you guys have an 11 o'clock service. And then you're done with that, and we're just getting started still. And I said, well, why is that? Why do you take so long? He goes, well, when you've been beat down as hard and as long as we have, it just takes a little while to get back up again. And they're in the right place, right? I don't think we might necessarily know about all of that as white people, because it hasn't happened to us before. Not as a racial thing. The sermon is not about that. I don't know how I got off on that topic. It's just that it's for everyone. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. All of us. brothers and sisters, red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in their sight. And then Jesus goes on to tell us that he lays down his life on his own accord. He lays it down and he can pick it up again. What are we talking about here? Jesus laid down his life when? Good Friday. Picked it up again on when? Easter Sunday. So can we say he is risen?
He is risen.
Got it in there. He is risen.
He is risen.
Well, I only got a couple more weeks of doing that. Well, actually, I got almost to the end of May, so I can work that in. Anytime during the season of Easter, it's fair game for the pastor to say that to you. So he is risen. We are in the season of Easter. He laid down his life and he picked it up again. He did it for you. He was sinless. He took on our sin on the cross. He offered us this sinless life that he lived through faith in him. That's what the good shepherd does for us. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, then my sheep knows me. It's hard to be just a number. But the good news is that God loves you and is present with you all the time. That he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be our good shepherd. And our good shepherd knows your name. Amen.